Thanks, Andrew. I'm going to invite George forward now. So for anyone who doesn't know George, bless you. You're about to have an experience. But George is
Thank you,
at
brother.
Church. And he's very short, obviously, as far as we're concerned with this week. Do you want me to help you there?
No, I'm all right. You just keep talking.
George works, he's a church army officer. That's why he got that lovely tie. And also he works for New Wine as well. So we're so delighted to have George opening our series in the Psalms. So we're just going to pray for you, bro. You all right?
Yep, I'll do.
We got that one on wish. Okay. All right, let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this brother in the Lord and this friend of this wing of your church, Lord. And Father, as he comes to open this series, looking at Psalm 1, we just pray your anointing. We pray that he would be like a tree planted by a stream of living water as he draws from your word and your spirit. So Lord, your people are listening, and we pray your anointing on your servant as he speaks. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen.
Thank you, Simon. Good morning, everyone. And special good morning to all you men on this Father's Day. I have a video. I wonder would it be possible to show that now at the very beginning?
Jean-Pierre! Jean-Pierre!
Buongiorno. Well, Stade de France, s'il vous plaît.
Merci, monsieur. Merci. Power!
Since the Euros have just started, I had to have something about football this morning. That was Mars' sponsorship of the English team in the 2016 Euros. I'll come back to that in a moment or two. But firstly, I want to begin by looking at this Psalm, Psalm 1, which opens with the words, "Blessed is the man." Now, some versions have "blessed" or "those," but since it's Father's Day, I'm going to go with "blessed is the man," but you're all really included in it. You know, the word "blessed" could be translated as, you know, fortunate or happy, you know, or joyful. That's the way you could translate this word "blessed." So this man is blessed. You know, has his football team just won the Premiership? Simon's not blessed at this particular time. Have I? Am I blessed with a great singing voice? Definitely no. Is anyone blessed here with good looks? Not going to go. Not going to point anyone out. Of course, that's all. Anything, you know, in a sense, that isn't what it means to be blessed. You know, and when you look at this passage, it's interesting that the psalmist answers the question first by three things that we're to avoid. He answers it by three things that we're not to do. In this psalm and in these short verses, we get an idea in life that there's two paths that we need to take, or two paths that we can take. One is a path of righteousness, and the other is a path of wickedness. Or in simple ways, or in short words, one is to follow God, and one is to decide that we're not going to follow God. And the psalmist says there's these two paths, and there's no middle ground. You know, we can't have sort of a foot one each side of the fence. It doesn't work like that. You know, Jesus actually spells that out in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. He says, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever doesn't gather with me scatters." But the Message version puts it like this, which is a bit more in your face. This is war. There's no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're my enemy. This is war. There's no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're my enemy. So this guy, he's blessed by not doing three things, by avoiding ending up going down the wrong path. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. In other words, if we want to be blessed, we don't take our advice, we don't take our counsel. As men and women of God, we don't take that from the world around us. We don't take it from whatever the latest cultural trend or societal trends is. That's not where we take our advice from. That's not where we take our counsel from. They're not the example we're to follow. Out there doesn't tell us what is right and what is wrong, or what is righteous and what is wickedness. So we don't take the counsel, and we don't stand in the way of sinners. In other words, we begin to think the way that they think. Begin to take on board with those who have no time for God what they think. We don't do that. If we do, the result is we start to get confused, and actually we're not sure of what we actually believe. We start to lose hope and that belief that actually we follow a God who is a God of the impossible. He is the God of all things. And then very quickly, if we follow that path, we find ourselves sitting or believing what they believe, and God has no part in our lives. The psalmist seems to be saying here, we start by listening and taking advice. Then we begin to take on board what's actually been said to us, and eventually we find ourselves believing what they believe. So what do? Do we hide in our houses? Well, obviously not. You had a fun day yesterday with 800 people, so you don't do that. Do we turn off our TVs so we don't get contaminated by what's on them? Do we stay safe in our churches? Of course not. Of course not. You know, Jesus has given us the great commission that we're to go into all the world. We're to go out there. We're to tell people about Jesus. And it's very obvious that you're actually doing that. You know, Jude, the brother of Jesus, gives us this charge in the book of Jude. He says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. We're to be a people of grace, a people of mercy, and a people of love. We're to tell people of the wonders of the cross and the new life that actually Christ gives us. Folks, this morning, he is our healer. He's the healer from our past hurts. He's the restorer of life. He's the one who gives hope now, but also he's the only one actually who gives us hope for eternity. He's the one that we actually can rely on. And we're to go out into the world. But here's the thing, we're not to get caught up in the world. We're not to take time to let the things of the world to soak into our minds and start to shape our lives, the psalmist tells us. So what do? Well, in verse 2, we're told that this man is blessed, or we are blessed, when we take delight in the law of the Lord and we meditate on it day and night. You know, blessed is a man who loves God's word, who knows it, who knows it to be true, who follows it, who studies it. In other words, someone actually who believes, we actually believe and hear the promises of God. We don't just talk about them, we don't just sing about it, but we actually believe the promises of God, that he is good, he is a good, good father. God is good. God is always good. He is faithful. He is loving. And he is merciful. He is forgiving when we turn to him. And actually, folks, he's the only one who offers life in all its fullness and life eternal. So this morning, men, if we want to be good fathers or grandfathers, good husbands, good sons, well then, this has to be the starting point. This has to be the starting point. You know, looking forward, the psalmist, you know, as we come into our time, looking forward, blessed is the man who has discovered the wonderful truth of the Word who became flesh. That's Jesus. You know, through the cross, you know, through his resurrection, a new life, life now, life eternal, is opened up to everyone. Everyone who believes. You know, many Christians today, you know, we can struggle and we can get confused how to respond to the big issues that's around us. How do we answer them? What is the answer? You know, is there more than one way to God? Surely all faiths lead to the one God. You Christians, you can't just be the only ones that's right. How do we answer that? Questions, big questions on sexuality, on marriage, and abortion. And the list goes on and on. And folks, we can look everywhere for answers. We can look at society around us for answers. Yet actually, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Surely this has to be the place where we turn to. The words of the one who created, the words of the one whose hands put the stars into space. Surely it's time, it's him that we get the answer from. You know, blessed is the man who knows and loves and studies God's word. However, I have a wee confession to make. Being blessed is much more than being fortunate, than being happy, and being joyful. Yes, it is all these, but as we discover Christ for ourselves, you know, as we become born again of the Spirit of God, infilled by the Spirit, blessed means actually knowing the very presence of God in our lives. This man is blessed because he's fellowship with God, aware of his grace and his mercy and his presence. You know, as one commentator puts it like this, to be blessed is to experience the full impact of God's presence in our lives now and for all eternity. And then the psalmist tells us, such a person is like a tree planted by streams of living water and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. This isn't a tree dependent on the odd rain shower. Mind you, we get plenty here, I have to say. It's not that. No, it's a constant source of life. Constant source of water, meaning it bears fruit in season and it doesn't wither. Folks, this is more than just believing in God. This is knowing him at an intimate level. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Confident that whether life is good or bad, whether things are going really well for us or life is really difficult, we're planted by streams of living water. Our Father God does not change and his attitude towards us does not change. His presence is ever with us. His mercy and his grace is continually poured out upon us. Now, I am aware that for some of us on Father's Day, today can be really, really difficult. As already been said in our prayers, that some of us may have lost our fathers. They're no longer with us. There's maybe some of us, we've always hoped to be a father and that actually has never happened. Maybe we've a broken relationship with our father, or maybe we've had our father's been abusive towards us. It can be a really, really difficult day today for some of us. But the reality is, for those of us who are fathers, we haven't always been what we should be. For those of us who are husbands, we always haven't been the husbands that we should be. As sons, we're probably disappointed our parents at times. But we have a heavenly Father who is perfect in every way. And he loves us. And his heart is that we would love him in return. You know, that we wouldn't only believe in him, but actually would trust him for life today and for life eternal. The video at the beginning, I've eventually got to it. As I said, it was made for the England team. It was sponsored by Mars. And actually, for anyone who can remember back that far, what Mars actually done, they produced their bars. I didn't say Mars on it, it said Believe. However, and it was anybody that follows football, no matter how much Mars wished, how much English supporters, any English supporters here, is there? Oh, it's only one, it's two. Only two. I'm safe enough with only two. No matter how much they believed, it actually changed nothing. They sat and they watched their team lose again. You see, you can believe as much as you like. You can believe as much as you like, but you can still lose. And you can do it in football or any other sport, and indeed in many other things. Passive believing changes nothing. Changes nothing. And you know, you can do the same with Jesus. You can do the same. We can be passive believers in Jesus. But the advantage is that actually when it comes to Jesus, you can change the outcome. You can't do it with the English team, but you can change it with Jesus. Because you can become part of the team. You can be part of the team that always wins. You know, I'm sure everyone here today believes in Jesus. I'm making an assumption. Preacher told me one time, never make assumptions, but I'm making an assumption that everybody here today believes in Jesus. Otherwise, why would you be here? But the question this morning is, are you blessed? Are you blessed? Are you planted by streams of living water? Is God the Holy Spirit filling your life? Folks, belief without action changes nothing. We can believe all we like in Jesus, but actually, if we don't do anything about it, it changes nothing. You know, the psalmist is clear what we need to do if we want to be people who are blessed. And for us men this morning, we can only truly be the fathers, the grandfathers, the husbands, the sons, the brothers that God has called us to be if we don't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit at the seat of mockers. Rather, we delight in the law of the Lord and we meditate in his law day and night. See, not only does that benefit us, but the lives of those closest to us are blessed also. We read in Proverbs chapter 20, the righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Just in case, ladies, you think you've got off the hook, I did say at the very beginning, some versions say, blessed are those. You know, the psalmist points us two paths. One is the way of righteousness, and the other, the way of wickedness. You know, righteous means that That for us today, through the cross, we've been made right with God. We've turned away from our sin and we've acknowledged what Jesus has done on the cross and we've given our lives to him. You know, wickedness doesn't necessarily mean you're a very bad person. Not at all. Rather, just someone who's rejected Jesus. You just said, no, he's not for me. But the reality is then you're not blessed. You know, the psalmist finishes with a warning. Therefore, the wicked will stand in the judgment for sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So this morning, where are you walking? Where are you standing? Where are you sitting? Do you just believe? Or are you planted by streams of living water, alive in Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit, confident that he is with you in life today, and actually you're sure of life eternal? Where are you walking? Where are you sitting? Where are you standing? Let's pray. Let's just take a few moments . Let's examine our hearts this morning. Yes, we're people who believe. But have we given our lives to Jesus? Today, are you planted by streams of living water? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Is God's Holy Spirit filling your life? Do you know this morning at an intimate level the Father God who loves you, who sent his Son on the cross to die for you? Lord, in these moments, would you come by your Spirit? And Lord, I pray today, if there's anyone here who at this point, Lord, doesn't know you, in these moments, Lord, would you speak into their heart and into their life? Folks, the Lord is close and the Lord is near. And you know, if you haven't taken that step to follow him, it's a matter of saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Forgive me for going my own way, for not acknowledging you. Come and dwell in my life. Lord, I pray today for anyone who would make that step, Lord, they would know even in these moments the reality of what it is to be known by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.